My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Those Forking Fangirls, we talk all things nerdy, book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. My name's Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're going to be discussing books that need to be adapted or readapted ASAP and how we would change them and make them different if they're readapted. What venues we'd like to see adapt the books that we want adapted now. And what books that are being adapted that we're excited for and or nervous about for various reasons.
Yeah, there's so many.
There's so many. We have a lot to say on this subject always. So it should be a fun discussion. But first, as always, we're going to roll on into Snap, Crackle, Pop Culture News. Natasha, what have you got for us today?
Well, we are recording this episode a little early.
We are.
It's actually on the day that the Met Gala happened.
Yes.
And
May 6th.
May 6th.
It's not coming out until May 16th.
I know.
Wild.
May 17th. Wow. And so currently, Christine and I were stuck in traffic and looking at all the looks.
Oh, my God. We literally, it was a 22 minute ride there. It was a 2 hour ride home.
It was fucking ridiculous.
It was horrible. We left at 4:35. We got here at 6:20. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
We were like inching out of LA. Anyway, very exciting news for any Emily in Paris lovers like me. It was announced that season four, the final season, comes out August 15th, 2024, and it's coming out in two parts, and the second half will come out September 12th. And I'm just thrilled because I thought we were going to have to wait for Christmas because they always release this around Christmas. And I was like, damn, we wait a whole nother year because the writer's strike pushed everything back. But they're giving it to us since summer.
Did you say August 12th?
August 15th.
Oh.
I'm so excited.
August is going to be a good month.
It is. It is. And then September 12th is the second half, which I'm not mad about it. I'm excited.
Netflix and these two halves.
You know what? It makes us watch for longer.
Yeah. It keeps the social
alive.
A buzz.
Yeah, yeah. So I understand it. Because we were just talking about this in last week's episode about Fallout. But, like, we love Fallout so much, but it was all released at once. So, like, the excitement and buzz about it went really quickly because everyone binged it and talked about it for a week. But, like, when it's being released in multiple bunches, you do get way more people talking about it for longer. So more people discover it for longer periods of time. Like, I'm sure people are talking about Fallout still, but, like, it's not like a buzzing everywhere about it, even though it was phenomenal. Go watch it if you haven't yet, so you can listen to our Fallout episode.
Yes, please.
It's a good one.
Alex was on it.
We had such a fun discussion.
My brother.
At this time, we haven't even edited it yet, but I'm excited to edit it because this discussion went so well. All right. Let's see here. What do we have next, Natasha?
Love-steria.
Love-steria. You should make a tune for the Love-steria.
Oh, my gosh.
Just to know that it's coming.
You know, we should have had a tune for Attach at the Hip this entire time.
We should have had tunes for all of our things that we do every week. Love-steria.
So a little news for that. We do have, so my friend, Crescent Shay, she makes, like, gorgeous viral looks all the time.
What's her name?
Crescent Shea. She literally made Katniss's dress on fire. Like she it went on fire.
What? Was she wearing like fire something?
Yes, like fire repellent shit. Wow. And she turned and it went on fire.
Wow.
Yes. Go check it out. So she is gonna be a part of the ball, and we're gonna have like a couple of her like very famous looks.
Ooh,
around.
That's,
and
I think, so cool.
I think I'm gonna also put some of, I know, because I didn't know until today. And then I think we're also going to put, I think, some of my looks up around just so like people can see them.
That's so cool.
I would love to put Becca's wedding dress on display, but she's actually going to be wearing it there.
Oh,
so,
okay. She'll be on
so
display.
So you can see it in person.
We'll be able to take pictures of the wedding dress.
That's really exciting.
That
so,
is so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're working on more authors right now.
Yes. That's working on more authors.
So
hopefully announcing soon.
More announcements coming soon. All right, and then Attached at the Hip is coming out in a week when this comes out, basically. A week in like, the 17th is the week it comes out.
Oh, my God.
18th. It is the week it comes out. It comes out on Tuesday. This is fucking insane, you guys. And at this point, the pre-orders for the signed personalized copies from Ripped Bodice are already closed. Because they closed the 15th. Fuck. Okay. Also, if you did pre-order one of those, it does say that you can't put any like special requests. But if you do want one, DM me with your name. And I'm making a notes app list of whatever, if anyone has a special weird request. Because, I mean, a woman named Cassia ordered one, and she's like in London, and you have to pay so much money for the shipping when you're international.
Yeah.
And she had like some request, and she was like, wouldn't let me put it. I was scared. Mm-hmm. And she gave it to me over DM, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do it. Don't worry. And I think everyone's probably like scared off because it literally says not to, but just DM me if you did that, if you ordered, and what? I will do it.
Where are you doing? Are you doing it at the Ripped Bodice?
So I'm like doing before it at the Ripped Bodice. I'm supposed to come early to sign. But it depends, I guess, how many orders they get.
Yeah.
Because I had to actually do it like all day for the Better Together. But that was because I wasn't going on tour at all. So no one had a chance to get signed copies anywhere else that were personalized. So I'm not sure how many it will be. But hopefully if I get there like 2 hours early, I'll be able to sign them all in that day. Anyway, I'm going on a Attached at the Hip book tour very, very soon. And I'm sure you could still come. And you can definitely still come. Definitely please come if you're not planning on coming yet. I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon on May 21st at 7 p.m. at Powell's at the Beaverton. Powell's, it's like the Cedar Hills location. And then the next day on 5/22, I'll be in Los Angeles at the Ripped Bodice at 7 p.m. with Natasha Polis in conversation with me. The next day I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at 7 p.m. at Reeds and Company. The next day, 5/24, I will be in New Jersey at the Barnes & Noble Union in Union City. And I will be in conversation with Hannah Nicole Mayer, who wrote Assistant to the Villain. It's going to be so fun. And then on 5/28, May 28th, I will be in St. Louis, Missouri with Jesse the Reader. I think that one's also at 7 p.m. It's at like the St. Louis County Library, hosted by Novel Neighbor. And then I'll be in Marietta, Georgia for a 6 p.m. signing. And that's the only event that won't have like a portion where there's like a presentation. It'll be like a signing meet and greet. So I'll be talking to all y'all. We can take pictures, sign your books, all of that. It'll be really chill and fun. And then the last event's in Orlando, Florida on 5/30, May 30th. Not 5/30. Oh my God. May 30th. That's what I meant by 5/30. It's May 30th, I think at like 6. I'll leave it in the description, at Writer's Block. And there's two Writer's Block locations. I think it's at like the Winter Garden one. Anyway, the details are in the description. Some of them are ticketed. Some of them are like just quote ticketed, but you don't have to buy anything. If it is ticketed, you're buying the book, you're supporting the local bookstore and all that jazz. All right. I'm so excited to see all you coming up. Oh my God. I'm sure I'm literally losing my mind right now as this goes live. Like,
I know.
Losing my fucking mind.
when, so you, you'll have like,
my mom will be flying
your
in.
Your mom will be here.
Yeah.
We have a birthday party.
We have a birthday party.
My family's
in town. Your family's going to be in town. It's going to be a really crazy. It's a crazy lot. Our schedules right now leading up
to your tour.
The tour are absolutely batshit every single day.
Yeah, we're currently recording almost at 9 p.m. at night right now.
We're recording every day this week except Wednesday. Like, because we have to do chapter chats, load those up, and we've already recorded this week on Saturday. And we're also recording on Thursday or something. It's fucking crazy.
I know. Oh, I will be back from my Bridgerton excursion. I'm going to New York for the Bridgerton premiere. I think I talked about that last week.
So you'll have to talk to us about it.
Yeah.
Like in the future. We're going to write down notes for everything we want to talk about. It's going to be like when you're in New Zealand and I was like trying to note down all the stories.
He says, OMG, guys, don't burn out.
Yeah,
we're going to try.
I feel like I have too much fucking adrenaline right now. Anyway. Okay. Last thing I have here is I saw Good Girls Guide to Murder is going to be on American Netflix. It's on the BBC. And I was like thinking that we're going to have to get it through some venue that's going to be
on the BBC. Is it already filmed?
It's already filmed. It's coming out this summer. I'm so excited.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's this summer. And it'll be on American Netflix, which is so accessible and so exciting. If you haven't read A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson, it's so good. It's a trilogy. They just, like, the first is phenomenal. The second is, like, good. And then the third is phenomenal. It's like, and the audiobooks are so good. So it's just like really easy binge.
I know. You told me to read them for so long.
You should now because it's coming.
I know.
And it's going to make it so much more fun, I think.
I know.
Yeah. I really want you to
read
it.
When is it coming?
It's coming in summer. I wish I had the date right now. I'm afraid to Google it because I don't want to like slow everything down. But it's coming soon to a Netflix near us. So excited. And the BBC is doing it and they do good shit. Good shit.
They do good shit.
Yeah. Sherlock, Doctor Who, a lot of other good shit. Merlin. I just know the big fantasy ones.
All my period drama ones.
Oh, BBC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I think that's all our news. Do you have anything else?
No.
All right. What right now? What are you reading right now?
I'm listening to Christine Riccio's audiobook of Attached at the Hip.
So exciting.
It's so good. She's such a good narrator.
Brittany, yeah.
It's very interesting reading the book with my eyes versus listening to it because like there's a portion of me that like hears your voice in my head.
Very easily hear my voice, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's a little like more detached when I have the audiobook.
Mm-hmm. She reads it with her voice.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's different. It's interesting. Yeah. So
it takes a second. I have the audiobook, but I want to wait till I finish the book I'm reading right now to listen to it. And it does take me like a couple hours to like fall in because my initial control freakness is saying it different.
I know. I told her, I'm like, yeah, she said one of your characters' names a little differently than what you've been saying.
They didn't ask me how to say my own characters' names.
Oh, do they usually do that?
No, but usually if you don't know how, they will ask. Nobody asked me, so she's saying it wrong.
That's very interesting because I wonder how often that happens and how often like people like, for instance, Bezgaeth, how we fought Bezgaeth. Over. I'm like, that's how they said in the audiobook. And you're like, Bezgaeth.
Well, I mean, like, it's not that huge of a deal, I guess, but it's not like a hard thing to say. So maybe she'll say it like right sometimes and not right other times because you said that she said it right in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about.
I don't know.
But yeah, it was so fun to be like, oh my God, what do you think of the fire scene? Because Natasha read it. very exciting. You're all going to know about it. So we're going to be doing, let me let you guys know so you can prep if you want to. We're going to be doing a spoilery episode talking about Attached at the Hip with Chloe and Natasha after the tour. but we'll be recording it in between the tour if you want to come to the live if you're a patron. So that will be recording on Sunday, the 26th of May, but it will go live Friday the 31st when the tour ends. So anyone who didn't get to come to the tour and wants to like talk spoilers, or we're not going to talk spoilers on the tour, so we'll be talking spoilers. It'll be a fun like book club episode.
Yeah.
And I'm excited because I never actually had a little book club about my book. Well, actually I did for Give a Better. Remember at the Barnes and Noble?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Book club? That yeah. was really cute and really fun. But this will be cool because it's like with you guys. So if you want to join, read the book before
that. Oh my God. Katie says, well, us gals will have our own book club Zoom. Thank you very much.
Or you can talk about it without me there.
Yeah.
Which is valid. Emily, you were there. Oh my God. That was also really fun. And really long ago now, June 2019. Wow. Wow. Anyway. That's happening. I'm very excited. Okay, I'm reading Funny Story, and it's probably my least favorite Emily Henry book. I still am really enjoying it, but I feel like the stakes aren't as high, so it kind of feels like really casual. but I'm enjoying it. Julia Whelan's a great narrator, and I'm seeing Miles, which is the male lead. It's Ryan Gosling from The Notebook. Like, he's like a more lighthearted Ryan Gosling from The Notebook for me. Maybe it's because we just saw Fall Guy. But like, I see Ryan Gosling so hard as this role, and it's making me enjoy it more.
I don't think I've ever pictured Ryan Gosling in my head for like me a either, character.
Except now.
Is it because, okay, so we did go see Fall Guy.
Yeah, and then when I was seeing Fall Guy, I was realizing he fits the characteristics, because I'm also reading.
I'm nodding, but I don't know story. Him yet.
But you will know.
Okay.
You will know.
I'm about two books behind on Emily Henry.
Oh my God. Yeah. You haven't read Happy Place.
No.
You don't have to read them in order or anything.
I know.
It's really sweet. It's just not as funny as her other books. And the characters are just like, the stakes are lower. Like I said, the stakes just feel lower. Mm. But it's really cute and fun. And the premise is like, so our main character, Daphne, is engaged, and on the night of like her bachelorette, his bachelor party, he comes back and his best friend's a girl, and she goes to the bachelor party, and at the bachelor party, she tells him she's in love with him.
Oh.
And then he comes home and leaves her to go be in love with his best friend. And then she ends up, his best friend is also in a very serious relationship, and she leaves him, and the two of them end up moving in together into an apartment, because now he has an apartment when he needs a roommate, and she is getting kicked out of his house because she lives in his house because they're about to get married.
This sounds terrible.
They are terrible people. And then the two love interests end up being the two people who were left. They end up falling in love.
Oh,
they're living together.
I thought we were about to follow the people that just broke the other people's hearts.
Oh, no, we don't care about them. They're assholes.
Okay.
No, we're following the others.
Okay.
Others, the
no more.
Bees.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's just like the basic premise in the beginning. Yeah, they're just both have douchebag partners. But, and so it's like the opposite we usually see from the perspective of like the two best friends that like you've got mail that are like falling in love with each other, but they have significant others and we want them to get together.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is seeing from the perspective of the two people that got left.
Funny story. Okay,
funny
I get it
story.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you two meet? Oh, funny story.
Funny story. Both of our partners are fucking assholes.
And left us for each other. Okay.
No.
What movie did you see?
We both saw Fall Guy, and it was so fucking good.
It was so good. Okay, but sad news. Guess how much money it made in the box office this weekend?
What?
$28 million.
That's
not enough.
Like a lot, but
it's not enough for I think it cost them like $130 million.
Well, they still have time.
They still have time. I feel like
I think it might gain traction because people are talking about it.
I think so too. And I feel like I don't think there was enough word of mouth. Like they definitely did a lot of promotion, but people didn't really understand what it was about.
Yeah. But it's so clever and so good for, so it's like a love, an ode, a love letter to the stuntman community, stunt community, which I fucking love. That's just like the backdrop of like this fun love story about a stuntman and an aspiring director. And it's just, it's so well done. It's so fun. It's so funny.
It's so funny.
It's so beautifully shot.
It's,
the script is so good.
What did Alex say? He said it was tender or what did he say?
Not tender. Endearing.
Endearing. Okay.
Tender.
Tender. Okay. The main part of this movie is that it's so fucking hilarious.
It's so funny. It's so, the action is so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's all like stuntmen.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Gosling's doing some of his own stunts, which I thought was really fun and impressive.
Mm-hmm.
There's also so many great nods to stunts and jokes.
It's very interesting to see the behind the scenes of the stunts in the movie form version.
Yeah.
Also Aaron Taylor Johnson's in it, and he's also hilarious in it as well.
Everyone in it is so fucking good.
But Ryan Gosling looks so hot in this movie.
The hottest I've ever seen Ryan Gosling. I've never been so in love with him before. Like, never.
No, me either. How old is he now?
Like 40, I bet.
43?
Four? Alexa, how old's Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling is 43 years old.
He's 43. I was pretty on it.
Yeah.
No.
No. There's a scene where he's like all dirty and it's a good look.
Oh my God. Okay. Megan says, lol, so Ryan looks better than he did in the Barbie movie. Barbie movie is the worst I've ever seen Ryan Gosling look.
He did not look, no, it was just the hair.
It looked terrible.
It definitely did not match his skin tone.
Behold him.
No, it made him look very tired, in my opinion, because
it did.
It was a bad look. Bad color matching, in my opinion.
It was bad, yeah.
The hair in this
is amazing.
Alex was like,
okay, Alex was like, I didn't like his hair. We were both like, oh my God.
Oh my God, we loved his hair.
It was so hot. So I do think Ryan Gosling was very cute in The Notebook and really hot with that beard, but like not like this hot. He's like ripped as fuck in this movie.
Yeah.
And he's like so nimble and spry, and I love it.
Yeah. He's really big in it.
He does a lot of like walking out of water. He just looks great.
There's a whole sequence where he has to wear a mouth guard. And
don't spoil it.
Okay,
any of this.
Just, I'm not going to say, but that's really fun.
The whole thing is so fun.
And you have to see in theaters, I think.
Well, our theater had bad sound. And I was almost like, I didn't want it to be in this theater because I couldn't, like, sometimes the background noise was overloading the vocals of their dialogue, and I wanted like subtitles up. Like, I can't wait to see it again. Yeah. I think this is a movie that I'll like even more the second time around.
And Emily Blunt is just fabulous and gorgeous. Oh,
they're
always
just so good. Mm-hmm. They have great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. They've got great banter and just Ryan Gosling's so funny in this movie. He's very, very good. And the movie is very good. Like, it has a great script and has like such great meta moments. I love it. Fucking loved it. It reminded me of Charlie's Angels in the best way. I came out of there and I was like, this is the new Charlie's Angels.
And I didn't put that together, but I do really like that comparison.
There's like a helicopter scene that literally to me felt like an ode to Charlie's Angels helicopter scene.
I was also getting like Captain America.
No, shot like Charlie's Angels though.
Okay, but that one Captain America scene where Chris Evans is pulling it with his humongous bicep lives in my mind rent free.
I don't even remember it.
What do you mean you don't remember it?
What are you talking about?
Okay, it's in Civil War.
Oh, I've only seen it once because I got really sick when I watched that movie, and now I have attachment to it with illness.
You're weird. Okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Where he pulls the helicopter and he holds it in a different way. It was hot.
Megan just realized we're in the same room. Yeah, I'm looking at Natasha when I turn to the side.
Actually, the next three episodes we're filming in person.
We're all going to be in person.
So
yeah.
Watch the YouTube channel.
Yes, we're in person if you want to see us talking in person. All right. TV. Have you watched any TV since we last recorded?
I did, actually. Oh, Alex put on Them, and it's the second season to this really scary TV show. It's like, I think it's like a horror TV show, and it's helmed.
Like you said, horror.
Horror.
It's a horror TV show.
It's helmed by.
Remember that horror TV show that you watched? It was about whores.
Oh. It's on Hulu. It's called
Heartlets.
Jeez,
we got there.
Anyways, it's the second season to it's called Them, and the first episode was like 30 minutes, set in the 90s. And I really like the vibe so far. Very creepy, scary. It's helmed by a lot of Black creators and Black actors. And the first season was very creepy. So if you like horror stuff, you should watch this.
Cool. So not for me.
No.
But I'm glad it's good.
Yeah. I never put these shows on willingly, but like I do like them, but I can't ever watch it by myself. There is absolutely no way.
I am so scatterbrained right now that I can't watch any of the shows that I want to watch except for The Circle. Like, that's all my brain can handle. I'm behind on Survivor. I'm behind on, I want to watch The Gentlemen. I want to watch so many things, but I can only handle brainless The Circle because my brain is going in 1,000 different directions. Because like we were saying, like I have like 1,000 different things every day that I need to be doing or running around to. So I can watch Circle. And that did.
Yeah. I know. I can't believe I Alex like got me to, well, because I was sewing your jacket while I was watching it. That's why.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Natasha fixed my Twilight jacket. I'm so excited to have it back in my life. She rescued it from oblivion.
Christine has pieces of clothing in her closet that she's had since like since I've known her and before. Yeah. Most of this shit does not fit me anymore. So the oldest stuff I have is probably like 5 years old. Like she pulled out the dress that
from
2016 today, and we tried to zip it up, and that was
just so tight that I couldn't. I was like this, cutting off.
I know, I'm like, don't wear that today.
I've already worn it lots of times, so it's not like I haven't gotten good use out of that dress.
Yeah.
But I wore a different outfit that I've already worn today that I haven't worn in 2 years, so it's fine. It's been a while. But yeah, no, I have stuff. I have underwear from like 13 years ago.
Okay, well, I have my mom's underwear from like early 2000s.
What a weird sentimental thing to keep.
I know. I did just throw away a pair of her underwear because I'm like, I can't wear this anymore.
I have like my first like fancy thong from like 2011.
Oh my god.
It took me a long time to get into thongs.
Oh wait, Katie goes, so the Christmas tree is just a year round.
Okay, Natasha goes, I'm not leaving here without taking that Christmas tree down.
I told her, I'm like, nope, that's good. I don't care how tired I am. We're getting that fucking Christmas tree down. I'm sick of looking at it. It's ridiculous.
It's gonna go. Look at my, never mind.
Can't talk about this yet.
Can't talk about this. All right. It was a jump scare. what were we talking about before the Christmas tree?
TV shows. You talked about The Circle.
The Circle.
We can move on.
We can move on. All right. We are going to move into our main discussion. But before we do, we need to take a second and thank all of you out there listening. This sounds sarcastic because I just switched to this voice, but I'm dead serious. I could not do this podcast without you. So thank you so much for being here listening with us. We're like tired as fuck. I think we've like unhinged tired at this point. And
we just talked about underwear.
Clothes that are old that we have. Yeah, I have socks from my study abroad trip that I'm like, I can't throw these out. I got them when I was in London. I have like the Beatles socks I got from the Beatles store the first time.
I mean, socks, that's okay. Unless they don't have holes in it, you can keep them.
They have holes in it. That's why. Oh. I don't wear them. They're just there for sentimental reasons. That's okay. What I'm saying.
You were thanking your audience.
What?
You were thinking.
Thanking the audience. I was thanking the audience. Okay. Thank you for being here. If you don't already, we'd love it if you follow the podcast in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be the Apple one or the Spotify or Google Listening or any of the other ones. Pocket Casts. I like Pocket Casts, you guys. Do you know Pocket Casts?
Nope.
That's what I listen to a millennial on.
Okay, by the way, I looked. Apparently, we're not on YouTube Music.
What?
Yeah, that's the one we're not on.
What?
So.
What?
We had to fix that.
What?
I don't know.
This is so weird. Anyway, we're almost everywhere. We are on YouTube. youtube.com/@thosefuckingfangirls, where you could subscribe for free to get the visual version of the show. Every episode has a visual version. You can watch us. We're in the same room, so it's a fun time to check out the visual version. And
also, my HD camera's back.
Yeah. My HD camera, Natasha's HD camera. We're in HD all around. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to put together clips from this episode. They're going to look good. let me see. Oh, and we have a Patreon, which is a big part of, it's literally why we could do the podcast. We don't have sponsors. We have ads. When you can get the ad free if you are a patron. At the $5 tier and up, Team Jacob, you get the episodes ad free. You get our extra half an hour show at the end of every episode that's deeper. We're talking about things going on in our personal lives and personal stories that are a little too personal for the regular pod, but we have a really tight knit community over there, and it's called Fangirl Tea Time. It's at the end of every episode. If you are a patron, it just comes at the end of the episode. And if you subscribe now, you can get 72 episodes with half an hour of extra content that you have not listened to yet, which is super cool in my opinion. We love Fangirl Tea Time. It's a hoot every day, every time, every episode. I can say things.
There's 74 of them.
There's so many. And you get to come to recordings and put your 2 cents in the chat. So that's always super fun too. We love our community here. All right. Now we'll be back after these messages. If you're not a patron, if you are, we'll just be here now.
Wait, what? Katie said, even more personal than I have my mom's underwear from a decade. No, Katie, I'm telling you, I've had her underwear for like 25 years. Okay. Yes, you know we get more personal.
We get very personal.
Yeah, we talked about my butthole a couple weeks ago.
In detail about Natasha's asshole. Don't want to miss that. Subscribe now. Oh yeah, I forgot to say, you can do a free trial for 7 days. See how you like it before you commit. So go for it. But we're gonna kick this off with what books do we need to see readapted ASAP.
You remembered one, and I want to know which one that was.
I'm very passionate about. I couldn't believe that I almost didn't talk about it. Okay, I'll kick it off then. I need The Mortal Instruments readapted for television. I want it to be on FX. I want it to be made by adults who fucking love it. I want to make it. Hire me as the showrunner. I'll quit my job for this. I'll do it, okay? I'll write the episodes. I'll work with Cassie. Give me the power. Give me a budget. Give me FX. I want this job.
Christine will become Margot Robbie for Barbie for The Mortal Instruments.
Please. I would be the honor of my life.
So the question, though, because yes. I have this later on, I think, in my mind. I think I would start, though, with adapting Clockwork Angel first.
You know.
And then seeing if there's a want.
I feel like that one's very risky. I mean, I would do it. I would cast Logan Lerman as Will Harrodale. Okay. I'm fucking set on that. Now that I've seen him with an accent and like he can do anything, I fucking love him and he'd be perfect. He is Will Harrodale. I'm so in love with Logan Lerman after just seeing him on another show on TV. Like, he looks so good in it. He's so beautiful and so wonderful. Like, he's such a great person in it. I can't. I love him. And he is Will Harrodale. I'm just watching it being like, this is Will. This is Will. Give me the power to cast him as Will. Please. I need it. This is just me spitballing. Like, if I actually had the power, I don't know if I'd go this route. But like, I want it to be dark and I want it to be hilarious. Okay. We need that mixture. We need
which one?
The Mortal Instruments I'm talking about. Okay. Now. Okay. They all have to be funny, but like, we can lean more into the comedy with The Mortal Instruments because it's more modern. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think it would be very funny if like a Simon-esque character was like doing a mockumentary and it was like mockumentary style. Like, I really think it would be very funny. Like vampire, what's that vampire show? What we do in the shadows. Like if we shot season one like that and he's like following Clary around and like interviewing them and stuff. Like I think it would be so funny. And like he has the signs. And then like he becomes a part of it when he like gets bitten by a vampire.
I think that would be funny.
It would be very funny. I would, my dream, honestly, so I have a list of like life goals now. I made like 5 years ago now. And one of my life goals is to make a mockumentary style television show, like that kind of comedy.
That's a life goal? You never told me.
Well, I haven't told anybody. I told everyone now.
Okay.
It's on my little list of life goals. And I, to put this in that format, I think would be so fun, but I'd also do this in a regular format because I don't know if people would let me do that. It would depend on what we're doing. I do think that'd be a new take on it though.
I think so. Yeah.
And if I had like the right people and the right budget, it could be really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would allow for the special effects to like be less intense because like you could have those parts like filmed
kind of like in blurry in
a mockumentary style. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you could do some creative stuff with that. So, and creative interviews, like you could interview like a demon and shit. Like the it card, as it goes down. How was that for you?
Let me see. Megan says would be so funny because Matthew Daddario played Alec. Wait, what are we talking about? Oh, Logan as Will, Alex Daddario as Tessa in a strange Percy Jackson reunion.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god. Oh man.
Yeah. So let's see. What else would we do differently? Like, I would make sure that everyone takes this seriously. Like, we would just really nail it. Because I feel like a lot of the times we'll get, like, one of the casting really weird. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we haven't gotten the casting 100% right. We did get really good casting for the movie, but not really good script. Like, we'd have to... It has to be a show. No movie.
Yeah.
No movie.
And there's too much in it.
And Jace... You know, Jamie Campbell Bauer, he's cool and all, but like, I just don't think he's Jace. Like he wasn't like buff enough to be Jace. Like he got very buff, but he's just like a very, very slight guy. And Jace, I feel like is more built.
Yeah.
More like golden boy. Not like, you know, he kind of looks like he's on the verge of death a lot. Jamie Campbell Bauer in that movie. He's so skinny that it scares me. And he wasn't funny enough to be, he's too dry in like a British way to be Jace. And Jace has to be like sarcastic in an American way, I think. Anyway, I would like, this would be my whole life of making it good.
Because you really just need like, it's so hard because to make movies is not just like one person. It's like a whole.
No, it's a ton of. Well, okay. So with a TV show, the writers have all of the power. And with the movies, the director has all the power and the producers.
Well, what about the showrunner?
Well, the showrunner is part of the writer's crew. But like the showrunner has a lot of power.
Like Shonda Rhimes? Like
the writers. Yeah. Yeah. But that's not like. So, like, the directors of the TV show episodes are just there for one episode. That's what I mean. So, like, the writing has most of the power.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a movie, the power is very much with the director-producer because the writer gives it to them and then they're gone because it's a one-and-done thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it's much easier to get a movie made than it is to get a show made because they have to commit to doing this many episodes, which is a lot more money.
Yeah.
And that's why more things... go down the movie pipeline because it's easier for a studio to be like, okay, I'll fund a movie.
It's quicker.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like you can get a movie made in like 30 days sometimes.
Well, sometimes that's very fast.
Yeah.
And you need like the prep before that too. But for like a show, you have to come with like a pitch that has like 5 seasons. You know, like you can pitch the first two, but you need to have like a plan for 5. It has a lot more that has to go behind it and convincing and it's hard, but I want to do it for the Mortal Instruments, please.
Okay. Well, I've been thinking of something that I've been wanting
for. Tell me what's at the top of your list.
Readapted now.
Just call the show Herondale. Yes. I love that idea, Katie.
That would be good. Okay, I want all the Jane Austen adaptations.
Ooh, what are you gonna do different?
Adapted into a TV series, and each season will be one of her books.
Oh, so the characters will kind of follow over into different storylines?
Yes, and I would like them to, like, yeah, come in different storylines. And I mean, we have
kind of like
Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Yes. but it's not going to be obviously as sexy as Bridgerton, because I mean, there are sexy versions of the novels, but I don't want that. I want, like, my favorite movie in the world is Pride and Prejudice, and I would like that in a full TV show that's also, like, cinematic and beautiful and has
captures. Would it be funny too? Would it be more modern? Or are you gonna be old-fashioned?
I mean, I think it should be more modern, like in the sense that Bridgerton is a little bit more modern. Yeah, in the sense that,
like, Dickinson was. I think they did a really great job marrying those two.
Yeah, I think so. And I really just want to see. I want, like,
Katie says, and you can just call it Darcy. Natasha's show, Darcy.
No, it's gonna be called like Austin.
It's already there's something called Austin, isn't there?
Fine, Darcy. Okay, but here's the kicker. I want, like, really talented British actors in it, like, playing the main roles. Like
Professor McGonagall.
Yeah. I want to see Henry Cavill playing Mr. Darcy. I want to see Tom Hiddleston.
You're like, yeah. Wait, no.
No. I want to see Benedict Cumberbatch. Ooh, like,
he's a big one. He's a big get.
Yes. Like, those are the type of actors that I want to see, like, playing these, like, leading man roles. And of course, I mean, like, huge British actresses too, like Lily James. And are you okay over there?
I'm hot.
I know, I'm kind of hot too. I don't have a shirt under this.
You're naked under this.
I mean, I have, like, a bra, but that's not, like, a thingy.
I have a crop top on.
And yeah, so that's what I would love to see. I think I would want it, like, on Amazon, because they typically have a big budget.
Depends on the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But they do have some really good shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I also would really love to see The Fifth Wave readopted, because I do feel some closure on The Fifth Wave because of the movie that Michelle and Barack Obama produced, but we watched The End of the World, The Earth.
Oh.
What was it called? We all loved it, and I can never remember the name. I don't remember.
The Edge of the End of the World? The Edge of Tomorrow?
No, that's The Edge of Tomorrow. We're thinking of The Edge of Tomorrow. It was, like, based off of a book, and it was, like, a thrillery end of the world movie with Ethan Hawke and Mahershala Ali and Julia Roberts. Netflix. It was so good. Yeah, that gave me some closure for The Fifth Wave. But, like, I still would love to see a good Fifth Wave, and I would love, like, Max to do it.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Oh, my God.
What?
Sorry. I forgot. What? My biggest dream is to see Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley as Mr. Darcy. And
oh my God, Lizzie that would Bennett. Be great.
Wait, I know.
Why haven't they done that yet? That's, like, the best thing that they could ever do together.
Yeah.
Why haven't they been in a rom-com together yet after they had so much chemistry in fucking Star Wars? They are the Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Get them back together.
I don't, because Adam, like, wants to distance himself from Star Wars.
Well, it's not Star Wars. It's Pride and Prejudice. I know. Do it.
Exactly.
Do it.
I mean, there's so much. It's so funny. Wait, I did. Oh, we talked about the idea of him, of you, a while last week.
Yes, we did.
It's so funny because, like, there's all the fan fiction of Raylo that has been adapted. And so. The fan fiction that's been adapted for published novels.
Oh, okay. I was like, what movies?
And, like, Harry Styles has now two movies that inspired
by his fan fiction.
I feel like that would be, like, the same thing for, like, Raylo. But no,
I think that should be much better.
Yeah.
Because it's based off of Pride and Prejudice.
I think so too.
He should do it.
Sorry, you said Fifth Wave. You want to see that?
It's okay. I want to do the Fifth Wave. I want to do the Fifth Wave justice because it was done not good at all. It was done very poorly. And the Fifth Wave is really a standalone in my head. And we don't need any of the other things.
Yeah.
I would like it to be a miniseries. for Max. Mm-hmm. Please. Thank you, Max. That's my pitch.
I couldn't really think of besides the moral instruments, I couldn't think of anything that I like hated terribly that I wanted.
Well, I do. Megan just said Allegiant and I was thinking about those movies, but like, I don't want to do them. I don't want to make them myself. And I don't think it's the time for a Divergent remake.
Do you have to make them yourself? This is not a world. Oh, I guess
we don't have to.
You have to make them.
I'm thinking, because I'm like a film person, I'm thinking, okay, like, what would I want to make? But I also don't think it's the time for a dystopian remake yet. I think maybe in like 5 years.
Divergent's great.
It is great. But Insurgent and Allegiant weren't as good as Divergent. And I really like the Divergent movie.
I think they should do something.
It could be better. But it was good.
I think they should do something like they did for Hunger Games. Like,
prequel?
I don't wish to see those movies remade. I wish to see different stories. I would like to see different stories of it.
I'm not really interested right now, at least. Because I really love it as its own thing. I like just Divergent by itself. And, all right. I think that's all for like what we want remade right now. I still think maybe Third Time's the Charm for Vampire Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Give Vampire Academy to like Stars. Let Stars do it, please. Yeah.
Like it was good. I did enjoy it.
It went a little off the rails, I feel like. Yeah.
And I don't think they should have done that because I just think they're such like a big audience and we want to see what we want to see. But it needs like a discovery of witches, like the first season. I really liked that.
It wasn't endearing enough as we said. Yeah. Fall Guy. We saw Fall Guy and did our Fallout episode on the same day, and they've merged in my mind. Anyway. So, yeah, Vampire Academy. Okay, I don't know if you guys follow, like, the Penguin. I don't know if it's the Penguin Teen account on Instagram, but they have a really great social media manager right now, and she did this hysterical TikTok. I think it went viral on April Fool's Day, where she's, like, asking her, like, colleague, like, what should we do for April Fool's Day? What should we tell them? And she's like, should we say that there's going to be a new Vampire Academy? She's like, they're never going to believe that there's already been two. And she's like, so Third Time's the Charm. And, like, there's just so many things like that. Like, new title, new version of Turtles All the Way Down. That's Turtle. Like, it was just, like, all this random shit that they could do for their April Fool's Day joke. And it was hilarious. Like, they're very funny. And I started following the account. And I was like, this is there. She's real good. yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, like, they did really miss the mark with, like, some of our favorite YA series, which is The Mortal Instruments,
Vampire
Academy, and Divergent. They could be redone and better.
They could. I mean, they could be again, but bettered. but let's move on. Let's move on to what do you want to see adapted right now? What is in your head that you're like, this should be out now?
Okay, so one of my favorite books of all time is called Uprooted by Naomi Novik.
Okay.
And it is a dark fantasy novel. Like, it's a Polish fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the most, like, creepy, like, spine tingling. It wasn't like super creepy, but like a very spine tingling book. And it had such a like a dark vibe, I guess. And I think it had like kind of Witcher vibes in a sense. So it would kind of be like a new version of the Goblin King movie Labyrinth, but older and better with sex. And this fairy king comes down from his castle like every few years or 10 years. And he picks a young woman from the village to take back up with him.
Oh.
And she never returns.
Okay.
And
kind of like Beauty and the Beast.
Kind of. But we find out like his magic is the one. I don't really want to go into it because I think everyone should read it because it's like so good. Renee Audier actually was the first one to tell me to read it. And I loved it. But I think it could be like a really good like dark fantasy like romance story. Like in the sense of like The Witcher or... I don't even know. There's not that many great like fantasy things out there, but I would really like Bryce Dallas Howard to bring it to the screen because I just love her.
Yeah.
And I would like to see her do something besides Star Wars.
Besides Argylle.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to... Argylle, that wasn't her movie.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... that's the most recent thing I've seen her
in. I know. But like she's done like creepy things in the past, and I feel like she would be able to kind of bring this to life. Black Mirror. I mean, she did The Village. That was like her first movie with M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh my God, the new M. Night Shyamalan movie. I love the concept for it. This is the first one I've wanted to see in so long. We saw a trailer in front of Fall Guy.
Alex showed me that trailer earlier that week.
And I got so excited. There's like a dad who's bringing his daughter to like a Taylor Swift concert, basically. And he notices at the concert, there's like a shitload of police everywhere. And he's like, what's going on? And they're like, okay, like heads up, there a serial killer is going to be attending, like a famous one is going to be here tonight. And we're going to catch him. Like this whole concert is basically a trap. And then, and the dad just left the daughter alone to go to the bathroom. And that's when he asked this question. So we're like nervous for the daughter for a second. And then you see the dad flashing back to like murdering people. And he's the fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
I love this so much. And he goes back to his daughter and he's like, oh, hi, dad. I'm
like, it's Josh Hartnett too.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to watch that.
So anyways, Bryce Dallas Howard would love her to bring... I think it could be a movie. I don't think it... I mean, it could be a TV show, but it could be a movie. I think it's succinct enough to be a movie. And so that's one of the things I would like to see. Yeah. Yes. With really good costuming as well.
I really want to see Ninth House, and I want it now.
Yeah.
And I know, like, the rights are out there, and there was, like, the pilot was written, but I don't know if it's moving forward. And I want it. It's perfect. It has such a great vibe. It's,
yeah.
I want like FX or Stars or someone to do this one too. Because it needs a budget and it needs like style.
It needs style.
It needs like AMC, like the Breaking Bad style. Like that would be great. And yeah, these books are so good and so immersive. And it's like the age group. I love watching like stories that take place on like college. And I don't think there's been a really good one lately.
Not in like that sense. Yeah. Where it's like super dark.
Yeah. The magic. Dark magic. Like, what was that? Like
Magicians.
The Magicians. I did not like that.
That was bad.
It was bad. I don't... some people love it. I like was so annoyed by it.
I wanted...
The writing was all over the place.
Well, that and like, I thought it was going to be like dark and suspenseful, but it was like campy and corny.
Yeah. I didn't like the tone. Yeah, this is like dark. I don't know if it's dark academia. It's like dark mystery.
It's dark academia.
It's a murder mystery too. Like trying to solve a murder. And there's magic, but like the magic is very grounded.
You do not think it could like be... Well, okay. I love a good murder mystery, like TV show that is helmed by a woman. So like I just watched True Detective. There's that really good one with Kate Winslet on HBO.
I love that one. What is it called? The one in Pennsylvania where she has that weird accent.
Yeah, it's so good.
Where they only have like one section of Pennsylvania. It's like, I've never heard that Pennsylvania accent before.
Katie says she wants a warrior cat show.
Katie is a warrior cat stan. yeah, I would love Ninth House to actually... I think maybe Amazon had Ninth House. Did I read that? But maybe they lost it. I have no idea. But it's
Yeah, as I was looking up stuff, I was...
If they did it like they did Fallout, not like that tone, but like that vibe of like filming and character development.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love it.
Mm-hmm. Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, yeah. I'm nervous about that because it's a movie.
Oh, that's right. Who's doing it?
I forget.
Someone big.
Yeah, but it's a movie and that there's so much in that book.
I know.
She lives seven lives.
Mm-hmm. It could have been seven episodes
or eight. It could have been eight episodes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really want to rewatch
Daisy
Jones. Yeah.
I'd love to see Carrie Soto be a movie. That okay, one I haven't could read be a movie yet. And it would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And really uplifting. I think that would be great. That's like the Challengers of, well, it's not like the Challengers, but it's tennis movies. And there is a love story.
Tennis is back in fashion because of Challengers. So
I mean, was it ever out?
Tennis no,
out of fashion.
It's in the like, it's trendy.
It's trendy. It was much trendier, I think, when Venus and Serena were like in the Wimbledons. More people were talking about tennis in the zeitgeist. And Maria Sharapova, remember she used to be on all those commercials like the digital camera, the power shot. I almost wanted that, but I stayed loyal to Casio cameras. For so long, I had a Casio digital camera. Do you remember what kind of digital camera you had?
I had a Canon. Ah. I had a PowerShot.
Yeah, you had hers. She did some really great marketing for that camera. Anyway, why are we talking about this? Oh, tennis. Carrie Soto. Okay, I think all of Taylor Jenkins' most recent books should be adapted. Mm-hmm. Malibu Rising should be a television series for sure, like a mini series, because it's very much like a This Is Us family drama where we go through like the different decades and stuff and they all connect in a beautiful way. And I think it'd be really, really impactful and beautiful.
I think, like, you know how we like consistently got a Nicholas Sparks movie like every other year.
But there's only one good one. I guess two if you count The Last Song. I didn't like it though.
I actually like a lot of Nicholas Sparks.
Which ones
Sparks
did you movie. Like?
I mean, The Notebook, obviously.
Obviously The Notebook. You watch it back now and there's like a lot of like toxicity in The Notebook, things. But I love it.
I love Dear John.
Oh, that was so
with
sad.
Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried. Because I read Nicholas Sparks.
I never read his
books. I read a lot of his books because I didn't know. That was when I was trying to figure out like what I liked. I mean, The Longest Ride with Scott Eastwood.
Never saw it.
Fucking love that movie. It's so good. It's hot.
Alex was talking about a movie where Brad Pitt was like really fucking hot.
Oh,
I've never even heard of it. Wait, what was it again? He was like, smoking in that movie. I was like, I've never even heard of it. It's like a depressing movie from the 90s.
It's called Fall something. Shit.
I don't know. I have to watch that. But do I want to if it's depressing? I don't know.
So anyways, I was saying how I think, what's her face? Who wrote Evelyn and Carrie Soto?
Oh, Taylor Jenkins Reid.
So I think she could be like the new Nicholas Sparks or Colleen Hoover.
Colleen Hoover is probably more of a comp in that direction because like a lot of Taylor Jenkins Reid's have like much more like complex storylines going on. Not that like hers aren't, but they're concentrated on like two characters.
Yeah.
And that's what Nicholas Sparks are. Like concentrated on like two characters.
Yeah. And they're all like, set in fucking North Carolina.
Yeah.
And
Taylor Jenkins Reid has a lot of like ensemble casts.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I want to see Verity, which we just found out is being
so excited.
It's being turned into a TV show.
No, I thought it was a movie on Amazon.
Oh, okay. Someone said Netflix TV show.
I definitely saw a movie on Amazon.
Definitely
on
Amazon.
Own
yeah,
page. She posted.
Yeah, I'm really excited about Verity. I want to see all of her books adapted now.
Me too. This is the danger. Okay, this is what I worry about with rom-coms being adapted because a lot of times they can be easily like rushed and come out really shitty. Like I don't want them to be like, not that this was the worst rom-com I've ever seen, but like The Idea of You, where like it kind of feels like a straight to DVD movie.
I liked that movie.
I'm not saying it was bad, but it wasn't like great. It wasn't like a Will Gluck rom-com.
Like who's Will Gluck?
he made Friends with Benefits. He just made the one with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. Like,
oh, yeah.
He has great comedic timing. They always have great chemistry. It's edited like a real movie. Like, yeah. It moves. It has style. It has grace. Mm-hmm. It's Miss United States. Like, they're great. And they're undeniably great. You know, like, it's not like I'm going to be embarrassed to show this movie to anybody because they're going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to feel like that. I want it to feel like it had a budget and people cared about this mm-hmm. movie.
That's like, because I wished Red, White, and Royal Blue was...
Had more of a budget.
Because
they had great actors.
Yeah, they had great actors. Like,
they had
a good
script.
If I would redo that, I think they would have more of a budget and would actually like...
Go to locations. They were all like on a set the entire time.
Yeah,
it was sad times to see no locations. Mm-hmm. but for things like Emily Henry's books, I feel like it could very easily be rushed and not given to two people that have the chemistry needed to make that rom-com feel come alive. And then you get a movie like that Taylor Jenkins Reid's movie that I watched that I paid $20 to rent with like Simi Liu and like Eliza from Hamilton.
Yeah.
And it was so bad. The script was trash and it was filmed like trash. And you had like these popular actors in it. And then you had random actors off the street that like had never acted before next to them. And it was so weird and so bad. Like, I don't want that. But somebody rushed that because Daisy Jones and the Six was coming out and they already had the rights to that movie, I bet. And yeah. They were like, oh, we can get it greenlit right now because she's in the limelight mm-hmm. and her show's going to do really well. And then they'll look at this.
Hmm.
So I don't want that to happen for any of our favorite rom-coms.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like one of my favorite books I read, it's not probably not one of my top rom-coms, but the Hating Game mm-hmm. with Lucy Hale. Yeah. And then they quickly
the guy casting was horrible.
They took out Robbie Amell and then they put in this random actor that no one has ever seen.
Also, Robbie Amell is amazing at like hate to love.
He's so
banter.
Good.
He's so funny. He's like so he could take a very mediocre script and make it hilarious.
Yes.
And then this guy could not do that.
No. And also Lucy Hale is now typecast in all these like little dumb dumb rom-coms.
Okay, don't call it dumb dumb.
Okay, you're right. But like she's it like there's movies that she's been making that could easily be like a Hallmark movie, but she makes it better because she is a better actor. Well,
the dog movie was really cute.
I did love that movie. Yeah, with Grant Gustin.
I enjoyed that movie too. Yeah. That was good. It was just had like too many montages.
Yeah.
But it, like the parts that it was movie was good. she's just been and there's that other movie that's on Netflix that I didn't finish where she's like a very like
I watched that
buttoned
one.
Up person.
Yeah.
But what were we saying? She's great in The Hating Game.
Yeah.
She just doesn't have a good partner.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying because I don't believe anything that guy says.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him at all. I don't think he's attractive at all. I don't think they have chemistry. And when you told me that Robbie Amell was originally cast, I was like, I could see it. Just mm-hmm. in a second. I was mm-hmm. like, he would have slayed.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been perfect. That movie would have been so much better.
Yep.
Because the movie wasn't bad.
No.
That guy ruined the movie.
Yeah.
The script was there.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it. Sad times.
You know, a movie I do watch a lot is Can You Keep a Secret with Alexander Daddario and Tyler Hoechlin.
That one hurt me.
It hurts a little bit, but I do rewatch it a lot.
I can't believe you rewatched that one.
I live for these types of films.
But that one, like, the script is, like, all uneven for
but
me.
But Alexander Daddario is so likable and lovable.
I just wish that they had a better script. I think the actors are great.
Yeah.
I think the script, like, is so weird. Like, you can't really fall in love with them because it's, like, one-sided and weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was disappointed, though, because I did read that book. All right. Let's move on to more books that we're kind of nervous about. Oh, wait. More books we want to see that are currently being... Okay. Books that are currently being adapted that we're excited for. I am so excited. I talk about the Hail Mary Project all the time. Natasha just realized I liked it like 3 weeks ago. I feel like when I talked about it. But I've been talking about it since 2020. And it's being adapted. And Ryan Gosling is going to play the lead. And I am so into Ryan Gosling right now that I'm so excited. So pumped. I have a renewed sense of faith in his comedy skills this year and last year, and I'm very excited. Not that like The Nice Guys was so funny too, but like just now renewed.
Wait, Ryan Gosling's going to be in this movie?
Yeah, he's the lead.
Can you remind me of what the scenario is about?
Yes. Okay. I don't think I ever told you because I don't want to like go into any spoilers, but like this is the basic premise. Like Earth is going to die. Something bad's happening to it and we need to find something to solve it. And basically the only solution we have come up with that's viable is like finding a planet to live on. Like, and so he's sent on this. Oh, wait. And there's like some weird energy like shooting out of the sun from like another universe. And we're like, what is this? And so he's sent out on this Hail Mary mission to figure out what's causing that and to possibly find a different viable planet.
This is a space book.
Yeah, it's so good.
You don't like space.
I like Andy Weir space books. It's not like fantasy. Oh. It's like a sci-fi. It's like, you know, The Martian. It very much has that like very funny, like sarcastic, but like really grounded vibe where you're really rooting for the main character and you really love them because they're so endearing. Anyway, so he gets sent on this Hail Mary mission and it's one of those things where you have to be like crying a lot. You have to be like asleep for the first like chunk of it.
Okay.
And when he wakes up, the rest of the crew is dead and it's just him alone on the spaceship. And he's light years away.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, but you will like it.
Okay.
Don't worry.
I love space.
It's not like Spaceman, which is so depressing. It's not like that. When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, it's giving this. And then I watched it. I was like, it's not giving. This is the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Or, the Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt movie, which is also, I think, kind of depressing.
Bad. No. Okay. You know how The Martian, he's stuck on Mars alone.
Yeah.
And it's still really funny and great. Yeah. It's got that vibe. Yeah. It's so good. And everyone, like, I've gotten so many people into reading from it. I got John and John's dad.
I don't remember you telling me to read this. I love space books.
You should read. I'm telling you, get the audio. It's so good.
Okay, I'm gonna get the audio book. I want to reread
it because like that experience was so good. I had like the best time.
I know. So that's being adapted and it's coming when?
It's not, doesn't have a release date, but it's like Ryan Gosling is going to be playing the lead. I'm so excited. Okay.
Okay.
Fourth Wing.
Has it been optioned?
I guarantee you it's been optioned. Sure. I don't know if it's been announced, but I guarantee someone's making it. I thought she did say that someone was making it, but I can't remember.
I can look it up.
2026.
Amazon.
Oh, sorry. 2026 is when Project Hail Mary is supposed to come out.
2026?
Yeah. Project Hail Mary.
Oh, shit. Okay. Variety reported that Fourth Wing TV show is coming to Amazon. And they also have the rights to Iron Flame.
Wow. I hope they do a really good job with the show. I hope they give it Lord of the Rings treatment.
I hope they give it Rings of Power treatment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those dragons do be needing to look cool and have good voices. And Darna better be cute.
We really want to see Henry Cavill play Taren.
Please. Please. It would be like... Mary Poppins. Julie Andrews. Who is the voice of Lady Whistledown. Yeah. That's what we need.
Henry Cavill is the voice of Taren.
Yes.
He doesn't need to come until like episode 8 or episode 6 I know. Or something. Like,
yeah, better get 16 episodes out of these big ass books too.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in Fourth Fucking Wing.
Have you finished Iron Flame?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, they're not at Bias Gaiath anymore. And then they were separated again and I got annoyed.
I know.
Why?
You just need the audiobook.
I have it. I got the audiobook.
Okay.
You know what I'm nervous about? The Sarah J. Maas adaptations. I've been nervous since the very beginning. Hopefully now they're getting a big budget because she has
they're
so much
so
attention.
Big.
Yeah.
They're so big. Yeah. If they fuck this up.
We're going to be upset.
Oh my gosh.
But like, wasn't Twilight really big and only got $1 million budget?
Yeah.
But it's different, I guess, now. It's a different level with TikTok.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I mean, it would be a big show for Hulu. It would be their biggest show, I
think. Does Hulu have it again?
Hulu still has it.
Hulu
still has it.
Hulu could do a really good job. They have really
great
shows.
They could bring
on
Margot Robbie.
They have amazing shows on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's now owned by Disney. So, but do you think that they would bring on Margot Robbie as a producer?
I think she'd also be in it.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about that you're nervous about before we go into Mary Kiss Cliff?
Oh, we just sidestepped. Yeah, I have things on here. Okay, so the Invisible Life of Addie LaRue is being directed by Augustine Frizzell, and she and her husband are doing the script. So
who is Augustine Frizzell?
I don't know.
Okay.
I looked it up. But Victoria Schwab was actually supposed to write the script.
She wrote the first draft.
She wrote the first draft. And then they brought on this team. And I think I'm nervous for it, not anymore so much because of that vampire show on Netflix that Victoria Schwab did, which wasn't very good.
Well, she only wrote the pilot for that.
That's true. We did like the pilot.
We liked the pilot. This is the problem. Like, it's so easy for them on Hollywood to rip them off the project. Mm-hmm. If you're the writer of the script, like you get contracted for like the first draft, the first two drafts, and then they can always just bring on someone else for the third draft if they want it to be different for budget reasons, if they want it to be different for like star power reasons. Mm-hmm. Like they could have any sort of like corporate reasons to want the script to be changed. Mm-hmm. And then the script just gets completely changed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much say Victoria had in bringing on this other team, because most likely to get the ball rolling with the movie, she did the first draft. Because a lot of times, like, that's what gets the ball rolling in Hollywood. Like, you need a draft of a script to give to people to be like, yeah, do you want to get on this? Because the book is too long. They want to see a script.
Yeah.
And Addie LaRue, though, is really, I'll say this a million times, I think every book should be, most books, 9 out of 10 books would be better as a miniseries. Because you can just give the characters more detail. It's not like a one and done, you ruin it.
Mm-hmm. I do think like Addie LaRue could fit into a movie because
it would be so cut down.
I know, but we do have like, it has a little bit like Age of Adeline vibes in that.
But Age of Adeline didn't feel like as much as we wanted it to be because it was so cut down. Like that, I could feel that it could have
more.
Yeah,
you're right.
I want like at least 4 episodes of Addie LaRue to really get this sense of her like not being remembered. Like it's hard. You'd have to have like a genius screenwriter to nail that in 2 hours. And so many of these networks that to distribute the movie don't want it to be more than 120 pages. That's 2 hours. They want it to be like 90 pages.
Oh God.
And that's like impossible to make a good movie from a book.
Yeah.
That's
really hard.
Cause that's what all Netflix wants, 90 minute movies.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
And you could feel it in every movie that they put out.
Mm-hmm. I just, yeah. Well, I'm nervous for that.
I'm nervous. I love that book so much.
Mm-hmm. There's also, The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood, which is like, you know, one of my favorite books, and that's been optioned, but there's not been a lot of news about it. I'm just nervous. It's another like fanfic, you know, type mm-hmm. of situation. So I don't know if it's going to get the after treatment or the idea of you treatment.
Yeah. What level are they going to take level, it seriously?
Like,
yeah.
Are we actually going to get like good actors? Yeah. Like, cause Anne Hathaway leveled up that movie.
Yeah, she did.
And then there's also The Unhoneymooners, with Christina Lauren.
Is that still
moving? I don't know. So. It's been 2 years. They saw a script, but that's about it.
Yeah. It's getting a movie made is so hard. There's so many moving parts and so many things that could go wrong. But yeah, on my worried section, I had like Emily Henry's books, and I want all rom-coms to be Will Gluck rom-coms. From the time I was in college, I was like, I want Will Gluck to direct my rom-com. Like, it would be an honor to have him direct any of my own book rom-com adaptations. Like, I just love everything that he puts together. And I just want all of the romances to get that treatment mm-hmm. that like, let me make this into a good movie treatment mm-hmm. because it's so easy to make them into like the cheesiest movie of all time mm-hmm. with like poor pacing and poor lighting and poor like blocking and cinematography. Like all that matters. Poor editing, like slow editing. That movie with Anne Hathaway was edited so slow. Mm-hmm. It didn't have movement and it didn't have like pace throughout the whole thing. The beginning was really well paced, I felt.
Yeah.
And then weirdly in the middle.
Yeah.
Anyway, but there's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening.
I think I'll always say this. I still would love to see like Cinder and the Lunar yeah. Chronicles yeah. adapted.
That again has to be.
That has to be done TV really well.
And time put into it. It could be so cool. That could get a Game of Thrones like treatment
mm-hmm.
and be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see like someone without a budget do that movie though, because there's too much.
Yeah.
Too much in it. And it's so easy to make that not serious and make it bad.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Shonda Rhimes could do it.
She could.
Mm-hmm.
She could.
That'd be really fun.
She would make it really sexy.
I would hope. But they are YA novels.
But she doesn't make anything not sexy.
I know.
At all sexy. Like Scandal has such a sexy feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so does.
Even under the barricades of primetime television.
Yeah. And How to Get Away with Murder.
Mm-hmm. And Grey's Anatomy.
Never watched that, but everyone loves it.
Oh, wow.
It's because it's a hospital show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
But yeah, I have faith in her. Mm-hmm. She can do anything.
She could. I do think we need like more female like showrunners to do these book adaptations.
Yeah, with that really care and know that what really they're caring. Doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That is going to conclude our books that we need to be adapted ASAP portion of the show. We are going to roll right into Mary Kiss Cliff. Natasha, do you want to give us a Mary Kiss Cliff?
Mary Kiss Cliff, suitcase, purse, or backpack?
Suitcase, purse, or backpack? Okay. I'm marrying backpack. I am going to kiss purse and I'm going to cliff the suitcase, I guess, because I don't want to like, bring that around everywhere all the time, I guess.
Okay.
I love a backpack.
I fucking hate backpacks. So
I love a backpack.
I'm going to cliff a backpack. I'm going to marry my purse and I'll kiss a suitcase because.
Wow.
I'd rather have something with wheels than on my back.
I mean, yes. But I can run faster with something on my back.
Oh my. I love how you just went like directly to like fight or flight moment. Like you're going to be in battle.
That's my anxiety response. Oh my God. All right, y'all. Well, that is going to wrap up today's episode. Today's Unhinged Late Night. Mm-hmm. Those forking fangirls. We are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time, but that's available, and that is available for anyone who doesn't have it on our Patreon, patreon.com/allthoseforkingfangirls. You can become a $5 patron, you get the free trial for 7 days, or you can look at the other tiers. We have lots of perks over there if you want to check that out. We release new episodes every Friday of the main show and every Thursday of Chapter Chat. Right now we're making our way through House of Flame and Shadow. It's been a hoot. We are like at chapter 56 or something like that. And our podcast is edited by Alex Polis and Ricky McBrayer. The music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.